morning. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is saying to the church in your word. So bless it now to our bodies in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Grab your Bibles then this morning and turn to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And I need to do a little bit of patchwork to fill in the gaps because it's been a little bit of a while since we've been together. And we're in part two of a message that we started in our last time in the Word, Luke 18. And we are in verses 1 to 8. And we looked at a message last time and this time entitled, Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It. What is your tendency? I ask that because it's also something that all of us as Christians are tempted to either do or to not do in this area. What is our tendency to do when maybe evil befalls us or a difficulty arises? What do we do, for example, if, like so many people, even I heard last service, so many people came to me and said, Pastor Jack, I lost my job on Friday. What are you going to do when you hear that? The tendency is to pick up the phone and start calling people and to at least share with them, tell them that we've lost our jobs or my child is sick or we've just had an accident or whatever it might be. That's our human tendency. There's a thing about it that if we just connect with somebody immediately, there's some sort of calm that comes. I'm sharing with somebody. I'm telling them about it. I feel better once I've opened up my sphere of misery, right? I've shared it with someone. We've all done it. We'll all do it. But this message is a message on prayer. We are Christians. It's not bad to call your friends. It's not bad to seek wisdom, for in it is a multitude of counselors that can bring wisdom to us, right? No problem. But why is our response often first to call people who, I mean, we love you people, and we love the people in our lives, but let's be honest, they're listening to us because we feel better. How much can they help our situation? Now, we're in church right now, and you will say they can pray for us. Now, just remember that tomorrow. But our Christianese is they'll pray for us. That's fine. That's great. But our first picking up of the receiver should be to God first. And we should share with him first. Why? Well, as we looked at last time, he's the one that can answer. He's the one that knows. He's the one that gives answers. But we were faced with a challenge last time. We were faced with the fact that God's word announces, I will answer you. And he says, I will answer you speedily. I'll do it quickly. But you and I complain about how God is not answering us because an answer hasn't come. When in reality, God does answer us, we don't like the answer he's given us. And because we don't like the answer, or we're not looking for the answer that he's going to give, rather, we want our own answer to our prayer and to our dilemma, that when God gives that quick answer, we don't recognize it when it arrives. It wasn't what we were looking for. This is a very critical thing. So our tendency is to not necessarily go to God, but to go to somebody else. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1, we'll recap the verses we've studied, and then do a little bit of a review, and then we'll finish up with the message here, verses 1 to 8. Then he, Jesus, spoke a parable. Circle the word parable. He's dropping truth, para, alongside their head so that they'll think. Parable. To them, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart or to give up. Here it is, verse 2. Saying, there was a certain city and a judge who did not fear God nor man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Verse 4, and he would not for a while. He resisted her. He wouldn't listen. He put her off. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Jesus is saying, study it, know it, get it into your head, know what and like the judge is and what he says, and consider also the plight condition of the widow. Verse 7, And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of God comes, that is when Jesus Christ returns to earth, will he really find faith on the earth? 2 points we looked at in our previous study. It's a 3-point message. You're really close to being done. We got 2 points down, 1 point to go. Those 2 points were these. Number one, Christian, just don't stand there. We ought to pray about it first. Why? Because of this. Our God is waiting to hear from us. That's what we learned in verses 1, 2, and 3. That God is saying, I want to hear from you. If you were not here in this study, mark it down. Jesus is teaching in a parable of contrast. He is not saying, you know how this judge doesn't care about this lady? And he took him a long time to answer her, and he's pretty fed up, and he has no regard for God or man. Jesus is saying, your Father in heaven is not like this judge. The answer is, he finally gave this woman an answer, and he's a wicked guy. Look, she got the answer, and this is a bad judge. How much more will your Father in heaven, who loves you, give the right answer and a quick answer? He's teaching by contrast. And then secondly, this issue about the widow. She is a widow. In that culture, she is a zero. She's got nothing. She's alone. She has no power. She has no resources. On top of it, she's under attack. And she's constantly harping, bothering, and we looked at it last time, showing up at the door and at the theater and at the donkey races or the chariot races or wherever this judge went, she was there. Constantly bothering him until he just threw his arms up and said, what do you want? Jesus is saying the Christian is not like this woman. The Christian's got power. The Christian has got open access to God. The Christian is not alone. It's a great way of teaching by contrast. Number one, our God is waiting to hear from us, and that should be important to us in 3 different areas that we looked at. That we should be, as Christians, making our prayer, our talking to God, a priority. We need to pick up the spiritual phone and call God first. Church, we need to make a covenant with ourselves, with one another, that we pray about everything. We looked at that last time. That we will be a church who prays first. And by the way, can I say this? In light of all of the troubles and pressures that people are going through, that this church is going through in this economy, listen, you don't have to come to church to be prayed for. When you come to church, get prayed for. But you don't have to wait to get prayed for. Go to God direct. Pray to Him constantly. Make it a priority of your life. Secondly, we looked at it being a discipline. That we need to just get used to praying. It should be like the lungs of a person breathing in and out, that this is what we do. We will pray. We will make it a priority. Jesus said it, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. And so you and I as believers, we should be talking to God constantly because the scripture says that we should pray without ceasing. That we saw that the word meant remain in an attitude of prayer, talking to God at all times. We don't enter into prayer and then leave prayer. Like some sort of a tide that ebbs and flows. We are to be walking in prayer as a people. It's a priority. It's a discipline. And then we looked also that God is waiting to hear from us. I love that. Because listen, God is our strength. If you take a blow dryer that's got a cord connected to it that's supposed to go to the wall, you can hold it in front of your face and do whatever you do with it. Nothing's going to happen until you do something with it. What do you have to do with it? You have to plug it in. But the moment you plug it in, you better be careful. You can hurt yourself. Plug in. Our strength, no matter who we might be, I don't care what strata of society you might be. I don't care how much money you used to make or how much money you don't have. God doesn't respect people. When we pray, He's listening. He's there. He's promised that to us. I don't know much in this life, but I know this. God cannot lie. And in this book, He said His ears are always open to our cry. That's why there's no situation in my life or yours that's too big for God to fix. Our marriage, our children, our situation, our nation, our world, our home. But does He hear from us? Are we crying out to Him? It's our strength. And then our second point last time together is that our God is willing to answer us. God is willing and waiting to answer us. Verses 4 to 6. And we know this because, number one, by his very nature, he's never avoiding us. He's never avoiding us. Have you ever seen parents? And let me tell you something. Parents learn how to do this. It's not easy. You have to acquire this. Have you ever seen a parent talking to another adult and their kids are around them? And the kids are saying, "Mom, Mom, Mom, Mom." You ever seen that happen? It's amazing. They're in a conversation with somebody and that kid is, in fact, if you're anywhere around, you'll say, "Hey, Susie, your kid wants to ask you a question." You say that for your own sanity. Shut the kid up and answer his question, will you? You know, this woman was doing this to the judge in the parable. Well, listen, our God never avoids us. He's never avoiding us. On Mount Carmel, you've read it, 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. Elijah says, "Why don't you guys pray to your God more?" They were worshiping Babylonian gods, Baal. "Pray to him, pray to him." And they're all praying. Nothing happens. He says, "Pray louder, maybe your God's deaf." And he's going, "You know what? Maybe he's out in the universe, out some distant place, relieving himself." Louder! They start jumping up and down. They start cutting themselves so that their God will turn his attention toward them. At the end of the day, no answers to their cry, even though they're standing there in a bloody heap. And Elijah says, "Get out of the way." And Elijah speaks to God, and God came down. I want to argue with you this morning that God is still coming down. I'm going to say to you, the reason why you may be tempted to say, "Well, I didn't see him come down," is because you're not looking in the right place to see him come down. We need to be very, very careful about that. He's not avoiding you. He's not avoiding me. He's not avoiding us. And then also we looked at the fact that he's never getting tired of us. He wants us to call out to him. In this Bible, no other book in the universe is like this book that says, God says, "Call to me and I'll hear you." He says, "Come to me if you're heavy laden and burdened, I'm going to give you rest. Come to me, call to me, be with me," God says throughout the Bible. He's not tired of you. And then listen, he's never rejecting us. We looked at that last time. He wants to answer us, not reject us. That's very, very important. So before we dive into the final point, point number three of our message, mark this verse, James. I love this. It's James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And if you remember anything about church history and our friend James, you know James was the apostle James who wrote the book of James in the Bible. A lot of people don't realize that this is the James who was the half-brother of Jesus. Mary and Joseph was James's dad. Just as Jude was, Jude, the last book before the book of Revelation, James. Check this out. When James died, it was noted in church history that James had camel's knees. His knees were so calloused from praying that they looked like a camel's knee. And now, have you ever seen a camel's knee? They're really gross looking, actually. James had camel's knees. This is what James said about praying. Instruction about how a Christian ought to pray and be careful about. James 1, 6. "But let us ask in faith." Let that person ask in faith without doubting. The word doubting means here without hesitating or making a false start. "For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he shall receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man." The word double-minded means a man whose thoughts are split. A man unreliable with his decisions, uncertain about what he thinks and feels and decides. He says, "Let not that man think," or that double-minded man think, "that he'll receive anything from the Lord." He says that this man is unstable, adrift, afloat on the open sea in all of his ways. What a tremendous thing. So listen, before we accuse God of not answering prayer, how violently, earnestly, intentionally are we going to God in prayer? Do we tiptoe into the presence of God and kind of cower around and pray, maybe hoping, maybe kinda? God doesn't want that kind of stuff. He wants you to come boldly. I'm not talking about in a rude way, reverently, in a holy way, yes. But didn't Jesus say, when you pray, pray our, what? Father. Have you ever seen how kids are with their fathers? kids take a flying leap and jump right in their lap and they say, "Daddy, I want an ice cream cone and I want it now." I'm not saying that in our prayers we tell God what to do. In fact, in our prayers, as we pray, our hearts are molded into the will of God, and then we know what to do. Big difference. We go to pray. So James says, watch out that you're not doubting. Meaning, if you go to pray and you don't think, listen, church, if you don't think God's going to answer your prayer, God says, I'm probably not going to answer it then. Because if I took the time to answer it and the answer showed up, you wouldn't think that I answered you. So why should I answer the prayer that you don't think I'm going to answer? You're not going to get it. You won't get it. So here we go, picking it up, verses 7 and 8. That's all you've got today, class, is verses 7 and 8. Still probably go over. Don't just stand there, pray about it. Third and final point, Christian, your God is wanting to protect you. Verses 7 and 8, that's what we get. The widow's powerless. She's unprotected. She's alone, but that's not our case. Our situation is completely opposite than hers. Look at verse 7. So listen for his voice when you call to him, when you pray. Do we even know what that's like? Jesus said, and shall not God avenge his own elect? That's you, the believer, who cry out to him day and night, to him though he bears long with them. Better than any parent ever in human history, the Lord is on guard and he's watching out for his children. He wants to answer our prayer. But listen, we have got to listen for his voice. God speaks. I'll tell you how in a moment. Psalm 46, verse 1. Mark it down. Great verse. Psalm 46, 1 to 3. Our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Don't raise your hand, but you're in trouble. You got trouble. You got marriage trouble. You got financial trouble. You got health trouble. You got court trouble. Whatever trouble you've got, listen, commit that verse to memory. Psalm 46, 1. Our God is a refuge, a strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth, insert my job, be removed, and though the mountains, insert your house, be carried into the midst of the sea. Verse 3, though the waters roar, or the bills stack up and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, or meaning, whatever has been normal in my life. I don't know about you, but there's, in our day-to-day life, can't you agree maybe with this? If you are going to look for a stability of surety, in fact, there used to be an insurance company or investment group. I forget who it is now. Doesn't matter. They're probably out of business. There was the Rock of Gibraltar. Mutual somebody maybe. I don't know. There was the Rock. In fact, that's the commercial. They used to say, you can build your hope on the Rock. Hello? Who's the Rock? Jesus. But anyway, they would say, we're the Rock. Build your hope on the Rock. Mountains. Look at the mountains. Just 45 minutes from here, you can be up 8,000 feet. There's nothing in our visual scope that's more formidable and sure than a mountain. And yet the Bible says there's going to come a day when the mountains will actually come down and they'll appear to melt like wax. Wow. The Bible says God is a refuge for you and I. He's our strength in the midst of everything that's going on. And if you don't get this message under your heart, then listen, you will go the way of the world. With all the troubles that are coming, divorce temptation will enter your mind. Going back to your old life. You know what? I can't cope anymore. I've lost my job. I've lost my kids. I've lost this or that or the other. I'm going to go back to my what? What are you going to go back to? To the altar of Jim Beam? Is that where you're going to go to? You're going to go back to the altar of Jack Daniels or Budweiser? It's funny. Everybody who takes or ingests Bud does not get any wiser. They should have named it Bud Dumber. But think about it. You say, Jack, you know what? I don't like what you're saying. Listen, deal with it. Here's the deal. It's true. What are you leaning on? Yeah, that's right. You Christians, Jesus is your big crutch. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he's crutch enough. He's a big crutch. In fact, I get to ride on the handle of the crutch. I don't even have to hold the crutch. I get to ride on it, hang on to it. He is my crutch. He's my hospital. He's my therapy. He's my rehab. He's everything. But what do you have? These days that are coming, what sure foundation do you have? God wants to be that foundation. Verse 7 says, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Jesus is speaking and saying this. The word avenge means, will he not make restitution for you? Will he not rush in? The word means to rush in and bring relief. Isn't that great? Are you in trouble right now? Is trouble looming? Jesus said, call to me, pray, and God will rush in with relief. Now here's the thing. You and I were so funny because we want to define what the relief should look like. Listen, honey, did you hear what Pastor Jack said in that verse? That's an awesome verse. Verse 7, I'm going to claim that verse because relief is coming. And I think it should be in the way of a Porsche. That's not relief. That's a headache. You can't go around and define to the loving God who loves you more than you do what the answer should be like. You've got to be open and willing to receive the answer he gives. Because let me tell you something right now. Though you may wake up and go to sleep or daydream, all the stuff that you and I do, he never forgets you. He never stops thinking the best for you. The Bible says, if I were to collect all his thoughts toward me, and they are good, Jeremiah 29:11 says, they would be too many to number. Go find that somewhere else, but God alone. And then verse 7 says, though he bears long with them. You say, Jack, I read that verse ahead. I read that last time we were together, and that verse tells me that he's just going to hold off and just, he's going to bear for a long time before he answers me. That's not what it means. Are you ready for this? It's perfect. It's awesome. It goes perfect. Of course it goes perfectly in line with the study because it's biblical, and this is what he's meaning here. He's saying that I want to answer you speedily. But here's the problem. God is saying, I got the answers. Imagine him being a carpenter, which he is, and he's got his tool belt on. You know, is that the commercial where the guy's selling cell phone channel and there's a helicopter behind him and an army of people? Okay, think of Jesus standing like this. And he's got an army of angels and resources behind him. And he's saying, I want to answer you speedily. Yeah, okay. And I'm bearing up long with you. You know what it means? Will you please ask me? He's got an army to answer us. And he's bearing up. He's waiting. And we're going, it's so terrible. Life's so hard. I don't know what to do. I'm panicking. I'm freaking out. Oh my gosh, all this trouble. My child, this and that. And Jesus is saying, all right now, anytime now. Come on, you can do it. Just ask. Hey, church, you know the answer to this. We have not because we ask not. He's saying, come on and ask. Remember that old song? We said it last time. We'll say it again. That, what needless things we bear because we fail to take it to God in prayer. He wants us to cry out to him. And I don't know what the deal is with us. We'd rather pick up the phone and call somebody who can't do anything about it. But say, you know what, that really stinks. I'll pray for you. Psalm 3 verse 4 says, I cried to the Lord with my voice and he heard me. Wow. King David knew something about troubles. Many of our youth today, as I mentioned last time, many of our youth today are in crisis. I tell you what, I had a birthday while I was away. I'm an old guy now. I love it. And there's things hurting I actually didn't know I had in my body. But listen, if you were to say, wouldn't you like to live your life over again? Are you kidding me? In fact, I'm saying, let's hurry it up, Lord. Huh? Let's get this thing over with. Either come back or let me blink and I'll be, 99 or whatever my number is. Let's go. But I think about these young people. And maybe today you're sitting here saying, yeah, you know what, Jack, I'm up there in years. I don't really care what goes on. Well, wait a minute. Does your neighbors have kids? Do you have grandkids? You better care what's going on. You may have made it through this stuff and all that kind of stuff, but you know what? There's still people living and breathing around you. We got to stand for what's right. We got to take care of what's going on. It's a very important thing. Our youth are in a crisis. You may or may not know it, but your youth get pornographic images on their cell phones. Don't think they're not. Unbelievable stuff. You don't have to log on to some dark, dank backroom internet place somewhere. Kids are taking body pictures of body parts with their phones, and then they're texting that, sending that photo to other kids and friends, and girls are sending it to guys, and guys are getting numbers of girls and blasting them with this image and that stuff. And you don't even have to know the person. All they have to do is get your phone number. And there's a way to do that. If you just go to Google, you can find anybody's phone number. That's how y'all got my phone number, isn't it? These are dangerous days. I would not want to live these days over again. I'm happy to be computer dumb. I hire people to, hey, how do I turn it on? These are dangerous days. And here's the tragedy. Children today, young people today, teenagers, they need to hear God like never before, but they can't hear Him. They haven't been taught. They haven't been trained how to hear God. You know why? Listen, they're never told to sit alone and sit quiet and be still. Just wait. Can you imagine taking a young person today and say, just sit 30 minutes without any phone, any radio, iPod, MP3, nothing. They would think, you know what? They would just, why don't you just kill me then? They would think they're good. Why don't you just, you can't do this. I'm going to sue you. And then the earphones, you know, the earphones in the head. I think they are now physically attached. The skin has grown over the wires. How can they hear God? They need God more than ever. Our young people need God more than ever, and they don't know how to hear Him. And they think silence is a sin. God wants to speak. Three things I want to give you. It's very simple, but it's the way it is. What does God's voice sound like? I'm glad you asked. That's a great question to ask. What does God's voice sound like? Are you ready for this? His voice will be unusually familiar to you when He speaks to you. So what does that mean? He will sound like you when He speaks. And you will say, that's not an answer. That's a cheap Christian answer. Just wait, I'm not done. He will sound like you in your head, the tone of your voice. He will sound like you because you're the only one you'll listen to. But here's the cool part. When He says in your voice what He is saying, you will know it because you have never said such a thing like that in your mind, nor has it ever uttered out of your mouth such a thing. And you will know. What was that? That was awesome. That was pretty profound, heavy. Wow. God speaks to us like that. Unless, look, there are, I guess, you could hear God audibly. I've never heard God audibly. I never heard, Jack, this is the Lord, turn left. I mean, I've never heard that. Maybe you have. I have not heard that, but that's awesome. But I've never heard that. I just know in my head, I will hear something, and it's not me. And that's cool, because you know what? You can go do that thing, or say that thing, or stand on that thing with total confidence. It's amazing. The Bible says, listen, very quickly, 1 Kings 19, verses 11 to 13, it says Elijah went out. Listen, this is like us. It's awesome. Elijah went out and stood on the mountain before the Lord. Doesn't that sound awesome? You're saying, I want that to happen to me. I want that to happen. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. And you're going, yeah, baby, now we're talking. That's how I want God to talk to me. Keep reading. But the Lord was not in the wind. Isn't that great? And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came, listen to this. A still small voice spoke. And so it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. And he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that? Because don't you expect God to break open the mountain when He speaks? And then speak like, Jack, thou my servant, what hast thou done? I shall call thee to the ends of the earth, my son. He doesn't do that. All this stuff, and look at that, and this, and the other. And then a still small voice. And it says, What are you doing? Isn't that just like God? He speaks to us so we can understand him. It's so natural, supernatural, natural. And then also this, how will we know if it's him speaking? Frankly, it's profoundly simple. John 14:25, these things Jesus said, I've spoken unto you while yet being present, but the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have spoken unto you. Answer, read your Bible and then listen to God speak. More Bible, you'll recognize his voice more. Not so much Bible, you're going to be a little bit confused. Don't read the Bible hardly at all, then you're going to be a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways, and you won't know which way's up or down, and it'll be a mess. Too many people live like that. You don't have to. And then what will be the proof? What will be the proof that it was God speaking? Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. I love that. God says, listen, when I send out an email, I get an answer back. A Gmail. And he says, it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in that thing which I have sent it. What God has said, his answer from the Bible, it will come to pass, and you can watch it happen. God's amazing. Secondly, your God is waiting to protect you, so watch for his deliverance. Jesus said in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. The word speedily today, we would use this collection of three words. In short order. You've ever heard that? Take care of that? Okay, I'll take care of it in short order. Going to be done now. Quickest thing possible. God is saying, I'll tell you what, I will avenge them in short order. That word is, I'm going to come to their defense. I'm going to answer them. And I'm going to do it very quickly. Now, we need to be very careful because as Christians, if we think God's not answering us, then we need to open up our eyes to reevaluate the situation because he has answered. In Matthew 6:8, Jesus says, your Father knows these things that you have need of before you ask. You see how he wants us to come boldly and pray? You know, you and I live in a very limited plane because we want to see stuff. We live in a three-dimensional world. At least now our science, our technology is getting closer. It's not there, but our technology in the world is getting closer to biblical truth. It's starting to flirt around with fourth dimensional and other dimensional concepts. Immanuel Velikovsky, I don't endorse everything the guy wrote. He's dead and gone now. He's a scientist. Immanuel Velikovsky wrote a book, Worlds in Collision. Immanuel Velikovsky said he's not a believer. He said, listen, it is theoretically possible that if we just alter molecular structure ever so slightly, we could have a train going through the living room of your house at the same time, and neither one would be aware of each other's existence. Science knows that. Well, you and I know that as Christians. The Bible says that when the Word of God goes out, as it is right now, and you've come together in an assembly to worship God, the Bible says angels peer, P-E-E-R, peer into the things that are being said and done in the service. Isn't that awesome? They lean in to learn and to listen from us, little dirt balls, pieces of dirt from earth. Amazing. A world in collision, as it were. God is listening. And he says, I'm going to answer you quickly. A couple of weeks ago, I think I shared this with you, but it bears repeating. A couple of weeks ago, right after the New Year's, Lisa and I and our family went to go see the Rose Parade floats. Do you remember I told you about that? And how they're all parked there. They're just very beautiful, amazing. I thought it was going to be kind of corny. It turned out to be pretty awesome stuff. And but you think about that parade. And you know, on the day of the parade, when the parade begins, it depends on where you're at on the route, on Colorado Boulevard, where you're at determines what time of the day you see the float. Are you with me? If McDonald's is the first float and it goes down the street, the people at the start of the parade, they see the McDonald's float and it goes by and now it's past. And now they're looking at the Alaska float. And it's going by and you're watching all these things and you've watched 10 of them go by. Those floats that went by, you're done with those floats, aren't you? But if you and I are down there in Colorado Boulevard right there at Cheesecake Factory, right there on the corner, and we're waiting for the parade to come by, we're still waiting. We're still waiting for what to come? The McDonald's float to come. But there's people at the same parade I'm at. They've already seen the McDonald's float. They're tired of that one. They're looking to other ones. But I'm still waiting for the float to arrive. And then when it arrives, it goes down. And now what they've seen, I've seen. But the people at the other end, they've not yet seen it. Are you with me? God gets in a helicopter, so to speak, goes up over Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena and looks down from the McDonald's float to the Ding Dong float at the back and sees all the floats at one time, at one instant. That's God. Sees it all. And so you and I will say, oh my goodness, look at the McDonald's float. Isn't it? I don't know why I'm saying McDonald's. Look at the In-N-Out Burger float or the look at the Wahoo fish taco float. Look at the fish taco float. Looks like a gigantic fish in a taco. Look at it. And you're calling your friends and they're down the road. Are you with me? And they're going, I don't see it. Well, guess what? It's coming. Just because they can't see it doesn't mean it's not coming. And when you and I pray, just because you can't see it, don't think it's not coming. God is above it all. And he knows just the right moment to deliver just the right answer. The challenge for us is, will we receive it? Real practical way of looking at that is 1 Samuel 17:37. You know the story. David's a young guy, and he went to go see how his brothers are doing at war. By the way, not much has changed. David was going to go see how the Israelis were doing against the Philistines that were headquartered in Gaza. Sound familiar? And they had a big guy with them, uncircumcised guy, big, gnarly dude. They found literal archaeological discoveries of bedpost and armor, their beds. The beds of these guys were 14 feet long. And their armor, the breastplate, you can put two men inside one breastplate, and they found spears. I'm not talking one spear. You can go to Israel and look at this junk, this stuff. They have spears, 135-pound spears. How do you throw a 135-pound spear? Easy if you're 9 feet 6 inches tall. And David, Goliath standing there drooling. He's gnarly. He's an unshaved guy. He's snot running down his nose. He's got boogers on his face. Got a little falafel hanging here. Shawarma on the other side. Hummus all over his face for camouflage reasons. And he says, oh, you know what? Your God's a joke. And David said, hey, who's going to take care of this guy? This is ridiculous. And Israel's all like, shh, don't upset him. Don't say anything. Because if we just be nice to him, maybe our enemy will just think nice of us and go away and won't terrorize us anymore. And David says, no, that's it. Give me something. I'm going after this guy. And little David goes out there and says, hey, you know what? And he actually walks in a prayer, which is how you and I had to walk today. Listen, David said, moreover, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion when I was a little kid, you know, taking care of sheep, and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And we all love the story. But I'm wondering what we would have done if we were there. I want to believe, I know it's not true, but I want to believe that if there was no David, there would have been a Jack. Israel, fear not. Saul, sit down. Jack is back. And I would have gone out there and probably ran right over the mountains of Elon and headed to the airport and got out of there. David walked in prayer. As a church, we're supposed to walk in that prayer and that hope of God answering. Revelation 3:10 says, because you have kept my command to persevere, God is saying, listen, Christian, don't quit. Don't stop going to church. Fellowship with other believers. Keep praying. Don't give up. I also will deliver you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the entire world to test all those who dwell on the earth. That is a verse that promises God will remove you via the rapture if we live at that time, out of here before the tribulation period. Proof text positive. But are you looking for it? And then finally, we end with this. Your God is wanting to protect you, so place your faith in Him alone. Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, I love that. Jesus said, I'm coming back. I didn't say it. He said it. That's the cool part. It's so great being a Christian. People get all upset. Oh man, you guys believe Jesus is coming back, you weirdos. Yeah, go ahead. Call me a weirdo. And you can call me a weirdo after I'm gone too. But Jesus said, He's coming back. If you want to call him a weirdo, call him a weirdo, but I wouldn't do that. He's coming back. And he said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Will anybody be believing? Now, this ends in a very fascinating way. We all look at verse 1 again. Go ahead, look down. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Skip ahead to the second half of verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Do you see the connection? Without prayer, your faith is going to fold. Without faith, your prayer is going to fold. You and I do not need great faith. You and I do not need to pray long. We just need to be people who pray and have Him as our object of faith. That's what makes us successful in the spirit life. It's not by great faith. It's that I have faith in the Great One. It's a big difference. So listen, we need to place our faith in Him alone. And so Jesus is warning that when He returns, will anybody be believing? All of us have friends who have given up and turned in their faith. Have you not seen people, especially at trying times like this, give up on God? Did you know God's not panicking over this? It's very sad for us. But did you know if somebody knocks on your door today and says, listen, I give up on Christianity, I'm leaving. It's been really tough, lost my job or this or that, and I don't like the way things are going, I quit. You know what? Pray for them, weep for them. But you know what? The Bible said these days were coming. Listen, I just pray, as I was on my knees before this service started, that every one of you who are His sheep, see, I don't have to worry about that either, all of you who are truly His would continue and abide and stay strong and persevere in these days. In a church this size, there's going to be people who are going to say, it's all a joke. I understand that. I weep for you. But listen, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And what? They follow me. So these days are difficult. I understand that. They're going to get harder. I mean, I know the news is going to tell you this. It's going to get worse. You guys, all the mathematical models, forget what commentators are saying. Just look at the mathematical models. It's going to get worse. You guys, this is not our home. Remember a couple years ago, I was encouraging you to get signed up in a home fellowship group just for times like these. I've been telling you, don't stop coming together as the assembly together. You say, I don't need to go to church to be saved. Of course you don't. That's not why I'm inviting you to come. Or if you're visiting from a church, make sure you get back to that church and get into that church. Because listen, we're going to need each other. These are tough days, but here's the cool thing. The Lord is always listening and waiting. He wants to answer us. And so I'll leave you with this. God is so good, this should build our faith to prompt us to prayer. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 that these days that we're living in, there would come perilous times. Okay? They're starting to happen. And what we can do today is say, Lord, I'm going to go to you in prayer. I'm going to seek your face. I want to know, Lord, you more and more. So I'm going to ask you to close your Bibles. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask no one to move around. I know this is the moment to dash for the car, but we've disabled all your cars. Please, please listen, because maybe today, you're here today, and you have known all about religion all your life. Well, congratulations, but that's not what we're talking about today. You have heard the name of Jesus all your life. But I ask you today, which one have you been hearing about? You may even claim to know God at some point in time, but I'm going to ask you right now, does He know you? This same Bible that writes this incredible encouragement for us to pray and that He's waiting to hear from us is the same Bible that also says that for God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that is at the cross, that if you would believe in Him, you would not perish in hell, but that you would have everlasting life. It's free because it cost him everything. Have you today decided, I'm going to depart from religion and embrace a relationship with Christ? That's what I'm inviting you to do. At this moment, I'm only a verbal middleman. I'm not asking you to join this church. It wouldn't matter if you did. I'm asking you to meet the Lord. And will you pray today this prayer by saying, I am coming to you, God. I want what I've heard today to be true in my life. I want this assurance. I want this hope. I can't do this, and I need you. I don't want religion, but I want you. I want to know you, and I want to know what it's like to have my guilt removed, my sins forgiven, and my history publicly or secretly erased. I want to be a Christian today. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Jesus called those that he did publicly. Public enough is my eyes scanning the sanctuary. If that's your decision today, will you put your hand up wherever you're at? And you're saying, Pastor Jack, that's what I'm doing. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you right there. If you've raised your hand already, you can put it down. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you over here. If anyone's sitting here right now thinking they should make this decision, that means make the decision. That's the Lord talking to you. Kind of quiet, huh? It's kind of quiet. He's talking inside. But you feel him? Can you feel the pressure? It's like a finger from nowhere kind of squishing you right now saying, you got to do this. Isn't that amazing? Anybody? God bless you. Isn't that amazing? Anybody else? Yeah. And then the back, a couple of you there. Beautiful. Father, I thank you for these who are hearing your voice, ever so soft, but yet so firm. You can rip rocks open, but not necessary when you rend a heart. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless our brothers and sisters right now that are being added to the family of God. We pray, Lord, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit and cause them right now to experience, Lord, as they go so normal. They leave today as they come in, seemingly. But a revolution has begun on the inside of them. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would overwhelm them with who and what you are. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, those of you who raised your hands, as you exit the building today, there are tents, there's little easy ups with Bibles, CDs, or a DVD, I should say, and a little note welcoming you to the family of God. Grab them and go. If you have any questions, call us at any time. Let's all stand as we close in this song, but church, listen, if you need prayer for anything, if you want to be prayed for, come forward at the end of this song, and there'll be pastors here to pray for you. All right? And then secondly, Wednesday nights. If you have not been coming, apparently you need to come early just to get a parking spot. God is blessing it in a big way. It could be that we announced a couple weeks ago that we'd be talking about being a Christian at our job and then about being a Christian as a single. And then this coming Wednesday, we're going to be talking about being a Christian being married, and we'll see what goes on from there. But I mentioned a few weeks ago that we'll be talking about our communication and our finances and our sexuality. And I think ever since I used that word sexuality, everybody's been coming. So come early as we look at our Christianity and our relationships. So let's close in this song. If you're visiting for the first time, I'd love to see you in the courtyard right after service.